WBSM presents The Barry Richards Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Text us using app chat on the WBSM app. Now, The Barry Richards Show.
Alrighty, welcome back to the program. Hour number three on a Friday afternoon. Thanks for being here. 508-996-0500 is our phone number. And so anyway, we told you a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I lose track of time quite easily these days, it seems, but told you about Representative Alan Silvia of Fall River, who is a Democrat. And he's a good man. I mean, I've known Alan Silvia for many years now. And he's a Marine. And he's a former state police and a local police officer. And he was a part of the investigative team into the highway killings years ago. Guys get a lot of experience, get a lot on the ball. And he represents the city of Fall River in the House of Representatives on Beacon Hill. And he's an independent guy. Always has been. And he's learned to, he's learned that there is a price, but I think he's known this anyway. When you don't do what you're instructed to do, sometimes it costs you. And as we have seen and as we have talked about many times here on this program, the leadership, both the Senate and the House in Boston, have an iron grip on the goings-on. What bills pass, what bills don't pass. They have a way of making sure you do their bidding or you lose important things like chairmanships, vice chairmanships. And that's where, you know, you hear police officers, right? Police officers, a lot of police officers make their money. Yeah, cops get paid a lot of money. Well, a lot of the money that they make is through overtime. So it's not just handed to them. They go out and they work. They work overtime for the money. You know, doing a detail after you've worked all day or on your weekend or whatever, that's work. And you get paid for it, and you get paid well for it, but, you know, it's work. And you know, that's the way it is. So lawmakers look to appointments to chairmanships and vice chairmanships to get some extra money, as well as to get important legislation done and to be you know, a part of what's going on. So if you don't do what you are instructed to do by the leadership, you do not have a chairmanship or a vice chairmanship, regardless of what your experience is and what your credentials are. And that has happened to Representative Alan Silvia. Alan Silvia's crime, oh, by the way, you may recall we talked about this about a week or so ago, earmarks, as they call them, that Representative Alan Silvia was looking for his, to benefit his community. He was looking for some money for a park for autistic children and some other programs for veterans and elderly citizens in Fall River, and they were denied. And Representative Silvia also lost his he lost his chairmanships and his vice chairmanships, and the reason for that is because he dared to stand up and support the auditor, Diana DeSaglio, in her efforts to fight for the audit that 72% of you voted for. Retribution, payback. And so I'm going to chat with him in just a couple of moments, so stick around for that. In the meantime, while we're waiting for Representative Silvia to check in, let's grab a call or two. And you are next in WBSM. Good afternoon. Hello, you're on the air. Maybe you're not on the air. Do you want to be on the air? That call came up under a very strange name, so I think it was probably a business that got a wrong number and was probably stunned to find out that they were live on the radio. That's happened before. You go to the phone line, and it's not quite what you think on the other end. So anyway, we're going to talk to Rep. Sylvia in a few minutes about what's going on with him, what's going on at Beacon Hill, and the price you pay for fighting for what is right. And this is the reason why we need to vote these folks out of office, because it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable that the people that you vote for to send Boston to do your bidding and to do the things that you want to see done are being punished like little children by some tyrants up there on Beacon Hill. And but this happens. This is the way they do business. I mean, this is true in politics in general, in government, you see this. But, you know, Massachusetts is such a, first of all, it's a corrupt state. And it's corrupt because we do have a one-party system that rules with an iron fist that has such deep roots that it's very difficult to oppose them. And if you try to oppose them, they can try to destroy you. And sometimes they can. Sometimes they can. So there is a school voucher program that was created under Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill. And what it would do would give it would give parents money, vouchers, to send their kids to the school of their choice in Massachusetts. And it's a federal program. It's a federal program and sponsored by the Trump administration, so it creates a big problem. A number of states have already passed this and have already signed up for it. And Maura Healey has until January 1st of 2007, which is coming January 1st, to decide whether she wants to opt in. Some Democrat governors have done so because it's for the betterment of their citizens. And it's a voucher program. And what it does is it encourages people to donate, privately donated money. This doesn't cost taxpayers anything. This is money that is donated by private individuals. Okay, private individuals would make donations, and this would fund this program. As a result of that, these private individuals get a tax credit up $1,700 tax credit for making a donation to help fund school vouchers. That could be a game changer for kids in Massachusetts, right? Could really be a game changer. Could help kids get into better schools and therefore get a better education, save the parents money. And a lot of folks in Bedford, Fall River, Taunton area that don't have the money to put their kid in a better school and maybe don't like what the public schools are doing and they want to put their kids in a better school. So this would fund them. And again, some Democrat governors have gone along with this, and we'll have to see. Governor Healey's under some pressure to reject it, and she might anyway, just simply because it's a Trump administration proposal. But you've now got a think tank that is urging Massachusetts to reject this, and it's a liberal-leaning Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center says the state should decline to participate in the voluntary, it's a voluntary program, Federal Education Freedom Tax Credit Program, saying that it would shift administrative resources away from public education, disproportionately benefit private schools and higher income families, and advance what it describes as the Trump administration's broader effort to expand private school vouchers while reducing the federal role in public education. And again, this is donated money. Program allows states to certify scholarship-granting organizations that would distribute privately donated scholarship funds. Individuals who donate to those organizations would receive a federal tax credit of up to $1,700. Once again, a number of Democrat governors have already signed on to this, and I certainly hope that Maura Healey would not let her stage four Trump derangement syndrome get in her way of approving this. And so we can get some help to our kids to get educated, right? All right, as I mentioned, Representative Alan Silvey of Fall River is joining us this hour. And he has certainly had his go around with the leadership up in Boston for doing what he's elected to do, and that is to fight for the people and to see that the will of the people is executed. And he's paid a price for that over a course of time. Standing up to the leadership on such things as the audit, which 72% of you want. He has lost chairmanships, vice chairmanships, and now he has seen some very important earmarks for such things as a park for kids with autism, programs for veterans and elderly, not be funded. Yet at the same time, we see Fall River gets 20, and I'm not putting this down, but $20 million for lights on the bridge. And a big old rejection goes on the proposals that Representative Sylvia was fighting for the folks. And Rep. Sylvia, thanks for your time. I know you've been away, and I'm glad you got in touch as soon as you got back, because we were looking forward to chatting with you.
Great. Happy to be with you, Barry, and happy to talk to you about some of these issues.
Well, you know, this is politics, right? We all know that. Politics, all's fair in love, war, and politics. But it seems as though in Massachusetts, this is a significant problem, because we do have a one-party system. And I know it happens to be your party, but you're more independent when it comes to fighting for the issues that you believe are right. And so we've got a one-party system that's really entrenched, deeply entrenched. So it's very difficult to go up against them without some kind of retribution. And has this been your experience from the time? When were you first elected? I mean, I remember when you were first elected. It's been about 20 years now, right?
No, I didn't catch the last part of what you just said, but what is it? What did you say?
When were you first elected to the House, Rep. Sylvia? You've been in about 20 years now?
Not 20, but I was elected in 2012, and I held leadership positions for about 8 years, vice chair of Veterans and Federal Affairs and vice chair of Public Safety. And my falling out with the speaker actually came in about 2023, when he wanted me not to take the floor on an amendment that I had fashioned to support to go in opposition of the police reform. Of course, that was during the Floyd riot issues. And I refused. I wanted to speak to it and did. And as a result, I've been punished since then. But the people sent me from my district, from Fall River, the south end of Fall River, they sent me to vote for them, not with the speaker. And I wear it as a badge of courage, because who would give up $100,000 or more, as I have, to be sure that I'm not going to carry his water?
So your current dispute with the speaker, from the way I understand it, Rep. Sylvia, is over your support for the audit. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So you support the audit. Yeah.
Yeah, I was the only Democratic legislator to file an amicus brief, and that really broke the camel's back, because obviously that was me filing suit against the speaker, against the Senate president, against the AG. You know, they refused to give legal counsel to the auditor, which was totally wrong, and we won that in court. And of course, several weeks ago, we had that vote called an act to promote transparency, which is the biggest lie I've ever heard. I was one of the three Democrats who voted no on that. And, of course, a Boston news station said to me, aren't you afraid of how they're going to retaliate? And I said, well, what can they do to me? They've already taken away my leadership position. But they found a way, Barry. They found a way. And it wasn't hurting me. It's hurting my constituents. Because that funding that I requested in earmarks, $100,000 for Mays Autism Park, for the veterans, weekly veterans program, and for the elderly, hurt my constituents. They didn't hurt me directly, but they knew what they were doing. And I take offense to it. And I think it's important for people to know where I stand.
So were you, like, formally called into the principal's office and read the riot act?
No, he won't do that to me because he knows that I will I'll respond. He's done it to, he did it to another individual that I care not to mention. But I walked by him intentionally 2 weeks ago and said hello, and he just grunts. So, you know, I'm not surprised. He's the most arrogant person I've ever met. But actually, Bob Correa told me that before he died, that he was one of the most arrogant legislators he had ever met. But, you know, I won't, you know, I won't pick on him personally. I just think this whole issue is avoidable when we're looking at the audit. What are they hiding, you know, Barry? What is it that they will go to no end to protect? So they're hiding something. I think it's non-disclosure money. It's no-bid contracts. That's my take on it. But whatever it is, it's the taxpayer dollars, and it's what my constituents voted for, and I want to see it take place.
So what they are proposing is legislation that they say would, what we know would actually protect them and insulate them more from any kind of audits, right? It would disallow anybody from auditing them. It would keep the courts from getting involved in any kind of... So, I mean, it really builds a wall of protection around them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they explained it. He spoke to the issue, and he had, you know, a Hispanic legislator, a Cambodian legislator. For 2 hours, they spoke how positive this was, this piece of legislation was. If you have to speak to me for 2 hours to support something, I already know it's bull, okay? So it was ridiculous from the outset. It was turned out onto us overnight. You know, we had very little time. I didn't read until 10:30 in the morning when I arrived in Boston. And we voted on it in the afternoon. So it was just another cover-up to stop her from reaching out and auditing the Speaker's office.
Well, I mean, the legend of Beacon Hill is such that the perception, at least, that we have is that that's the way it works. I mean, you go in the morning and you essentially get your instructions. This is how you're going to vote and so on and so forth. I'm willing to bet that a large number of legislators probably never even read the bills that they're voting on, right? They're just told how to vote on them.
And in this case, I knew that happened because after that, I had several legislators come to me saying they wish they would have voted along with me in voting no on that transparency legislation. And look, all of that happened went nowhere. It's not... the Senate already had their transparency bill, which was minute in comparison to the House bill. And the Senate hasn't taken up the new legislation that we passed. The governor's certainly not going to sign that. And so it was a waste. And the Speaker threw all of these members under the bus. How are you? He threw these members under the bus to support something that he's more concerned about than they should. They should be concerned about advocating for their constituents and not for the Speaker.
Well, you know, Rep. Sylvia, this whole thing from the start has, you know, left me scratching my head. I mean, obviously, they have fought very hard, and Andrea Campbell's been fighting along with them to try to keep the books closed and not open the books, even though the public voted, now coming up on 2 years, to open those books. And so that has always, you know, made me wonder, what is it that, as you just stated, what is it that they're fighting so hard to keep quiet? But then when he came out with this bill, I mean, it was apparent to me that Maura Healey is not going to sign this thing in an election year, if ever.
Absolutely not.
And yeah, and so what did he gain by doing this? It seemed as though he raised even more suspicion.
He, like I said, he hurt his own party. He hurt his own members. You know, I came on board with Speaker DeLeo. Speaker DeLeo was a gentleman, and he told me And he told other legislators, I want you to vote the way you need to vote for your constituents. This speaker would never do that because it's about him. It should be about your constituents. It should be about the people you represent. And they made it clear in that election that they wanted to see this order take place. And it should have happened already, but it's dragging on. And this baloney about, you know, it's unconstitutional and it's a separation of powers. Well, that's what the Supreme Court makes the decision on, not them. You know, Supreme Court, and they will make a decision. I look forward to that.
But this is, I mean, every single roadblock that you can think of has been thrown out there. Now, Governor Healey certainly could have advanced this and helped this thing along if she had taken a more vocal position. She says she supports it, the audit, but she's been very quiet about it. She could have helped it along. Andrea Campbell says she voted for it or has indicated that she voted for it, and yet she's done everything she can to stop it from going forward. And so it makes you wonder, you know, again, what the hell is in there that they don't want us to see? It's just, it's the craziest damn thing I've ever seen.
It is. It's the craziest piece of legislation that I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like it, Barry. And I'm going to tell you, you know, this fight isn't over. You know, I suspect the Supreme Court, you know, is going to respond to this, but it won't be till after the election. And we'll get to see what's being hidden here. You know, this, like I said, this could have been resolved a long time ago. The governor said she supports it. Why didn't she file an amicus brief? She had an opportunity to do that as well. But I know she doesn't want to upset the speaker or the Senate president. I understand that. She has bills she needs to get through and a budget she needs to get through. So it's unfortunate, though, for other members who have thrown themselves and put themselves in bad situations over this issue that the people clearly want.
So where does it stand currently? Did it pass the House or is it still in committee?
No, it's still in committee. I don't see the Senate taking it up. They had their own that they did. About 2 or 3 weeks prior to our bill, and of course it would have to go from the Senate to the governor. And as you said, she's never going to sign that now, especially before an election, and she won't sign it after. So the Supreme Court's going to make the decision, and we'll have to live by that decision. But I think you know what. What is the motivation for people to vote, Barry, if they're not respected in the referendum questions on a ballot question? What is the motivation to go? For it to be determined later on, oh, this is unconstitutional because you don't like it? You know? This has to be cleared up because this is an assault on democracy.
Yeah. There have been a number of ballot questions, too, that have been drawn into question. Supreme Judicial Court has tossed out the rent control. I'm not a rent control advocate, but it's very, very popular with a lot of folks in the state who are disappointed by the fact that they won't be able to vote on it. And several other questions that were high profile questions, the income tax rollback, whatever your position on it is. You know, I saw figures as high as 65% of the people support it. You know, again, there was a case where the speaker, Mariano, said, look, if you guys go to the polls and you vote for this, we're just going to raise your taxes somewhere else. I mean, that's arrogance, in my opinion. But it seems as though a handful of people are running everything in the state right now. And the people are not being heard from or given a chance to be heard from. I think it's three questions. The stipends was the other one. And we're told about, you know, the miswriting of summaries and this, that, and the other thing. So it seems like there's something much bigger going on here. And, you know, you just can't put your finger on it.
Well, I think, you know, I think the AG, who I have a good relationship with, is, you know, wants to support the speaker and the Senate president. I think that, you know, the way that works. And there's not much love for Diana DeSaglio up there. But she's a fighter and she's not going to stop. And I give her all the credit in the world because this is what the people want and It's what they expect.
Did you serve with her in the House?
I did. I graduated. She was in my graduating class and she sat next to me for 4 years, Barry, so you can imagine.
Yeah. So, yeah, you guys know each other well. Yeah, obviously. So tell us about these earmarks that you sought funding for that was shot down. One was for an autistic park. How much were you looking for?
I was looking for $100,000 for the autism park.
$100,000, that's all? That's it?
That's all. Can you imagine? Yeah. When you look at what other legislators have received, it's amazing. I asked for $100,000. I asked for $50,000 for the Vets Kitchen. They give food once a week to veterans' families. They feed them. And I asked for $50,000 for the Council on Aging for recreational services. And, of course, they were all reduced to $10,000 each. And that was just a slap in the face. When you look at Felines of Boston Incorporated, cats, and I love cats, but they received $25,000 in their money. It's an insult.
You know, it's and I'm not trying to pit you against any of your colleagues. That's not the intent of this. But there were a lot of comments on social media. I don't know if you read some of them, but, you know, when the lights were flipped on the Braga Bridge, and people are saying $20 million for this, but they couldn't give Alan Sylvia money for an autism park. And I think a lot of people see that and they feel that.
Yeah, a lot of people are upset. I understand their frustration. You know, $20 million, $18 million, it's a lot of money. It's almost nearly the amount that was paid to build the bridge. So I can understand that frustration. I had nothing to do with that. However, I think that's an excessive amount. But I understand that if that money wasn't utilized there, it would have been utilized for another bridge project somewhere else. But even with that said, it's an awful lot of money that could be used for many other purposes.
So I'm just curious, has your relationship changed with any other members of the delegation as a result of your disagreements with the speaker? Are they like steering clear from you?
I see some coolness, you know, some of my closest colleagues, but for the most part, most of my relationships in Boston are strong. My colleagues that I've worked with for years, still remain good friends as well as colleagues. So the issue, of course, is the speaker and the top leadership. They're not happy with me. But I can live with that, Barry. As I said, I wasn't sent there to vote for him. Vote the way he wants me to vote. I've done that. It's not new for me. I've been doing that since 23, at least. I'm not going to just carry his water because they want something voted on a certain way. So it's called principle and integrity, and I believe the voters see that.
So he's up for re-election in his district this year, and I believe he's running unopposed. So he'll be back. Is there any question about whether he will be re-elected as speaker in January?
No doubt in my mind. If he runs, I mean, he could decide to retire. He's bordering 80. He could decide to retire. Maybe he feels he's had enough. I'm not sure. But we'll have to see what happens. But if he's there, he'll be speaker. And it'll be interesting. Certainly it'll be interesting for me if he's speaker.
So you lost your committee assignments and your chairmanships and your vice chairmanships. Did he move you into a broom closet, too, or you still got your office?
No, I have my office. I've maintained my office, and I have a nice office in the West Wing, and I've been there since I was vice chair of public safety. I haven't been moved yet. So, I think that's the last thing they can do to hurt me if they want to do that, but I can go anywhere. They've already done everything they could do, but the worst thing they've done is they've hurt my constituents who would have benefited from, and they're going to benefit because money has been raised privately. They've already exceeded the amount that I requested as an earmark, so the park's going to be built. It's going to serve people throughout the greater Fall River area, and anyone who's suffering, who has autism or on the spectrum or any other young person who wants to utilize the facilities of that playground. So I'm looking forward to it being built, Barry.
So I understand that there has been a private fundraising effort to try to get some money for that park. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, and it's gone very well. I didn't expect that to happen, but former reporter was behind that. And, they've raised lots of money supporting it, and it's going to happen. So I'm excited about it. And look, something negative turned out to be a positive thing.
Yeah. Representative Alan Silvia, always fighting for the people. And even though you're a Democrat, you're a good guy. So I always appreciate you. And you and I don't know what made me think you were there for 20 years. But I remember when you were elected, my mind is going somewhere. But you've been there for a while, and you've always been easy to contact. You've always been accessible, and you've always spoken your mind. And that's something I think the voters appreciate. And appreciate you getting in touch with me today.
Thank you, Barry. Anytime.
All right. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye.
Representative Alan Silvia of Fall River. I mean, this is the way it works up there. When, you know, it's one thing for me to tell you this. It's another thing for you to hear it from somebody who's actually involved in it on a day-to-day basis. Quick break. We'll come in back in just a couple of moments. And listen, I want to tell you something about your ears, because your ears are very important things, right? Hearing loss isn't waiting for old age anymore. You know, research from the CDC shows that nearly 1 in 5 people in their 20s and 30s already have early noise-induced hearing damage, and standard hearing tests don't always catch it. So you want to do some tests. You want to be checked regularly, right? Earbuds, headphones, all of that noise, they're driving you nuts, and they're making you deaf, too. Duncan Hearing Healthcare, my personal audiologists for the last 16 years, changed my life. They can change your life. They can also help you to prevent the inevitable if you keep on pounding those beats in your ears and so on and so forth. So you want to get your ears checked. Whether you're young, whether you're old, you want to make it a part of your regular medical list of things to do. Schedule your appointments and go to them. And again, younger people are being affected by this more so than ever before. Talk to Duncan Hearing Healthcare early if you notice any indications at all that you might be having problems. Small adjustments now can prevent larger problems later on. Duncan Hearing Healthcare, Fall River, Dartmouth. I was just at the Dartmouth office today seeing all the gals over there. You know, they bake cookies in the morning and they give them, oh, they're such great people. You want your fresh cookie, right? If not, I'll take it. Duncan Hearing Healthcare, 508-910-2221. Please tell them Barry sent you. I'm coming back right after this. Stay tuned.
Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
All right. Welcome back. 242 on a Friday afternoon. 508-996-0500 is the number. And back to the phone we go. You're next in WBSM.
Hey, Barry. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
It was good to hear Rep. Alan Silvia come on and stand up for his district there in Fall River.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I had a guy like that over here defending us. Because, you know, remember Tony Cabral? He was all in favor of a bill put up by Brian Murphy, Massachusetts Bill S-117, that was more direct cash to illegal aliens and an increase on SNAP benefits. Also, to legal aliens, regardless of residency here in the state of Massachusetts. No limits on what they can get, non-citizens. And the reason why they don't want to open up the books, because you got to remember, Maura Healey was the man, the federal government under the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which oversees SNAP, wanted a list of all the people here in Massachusetts that were receiving SNAP benefits, and she refused. She didn't want to turn that over. So they're trying to hide a lot of stuff. And, you know, that young kid, Nick Shirley, he's gone to California. And they want to ban him from going there and exposing all the fraud. Went to Minnesota, and then he went to New York. All kinds of fraud. SNAP, welfare, Medicaid, Medicare. So they're trembling in their feet, in their boots. Ron Mariano, the Speaker of the House, because this would expose mass fraud in this in Massachusetts of what's going on.
Yeah, if they ever threw the windows open in Massachusetts, you know, the skeletons would dive out the windows and into the streets. I mean, there is so much corruption up there on Beacon Hill. And, you know, I applaud Alan Sylvia for standing up, but I wish others all would have the guts to join him. Thank you, my friend. I'm going to hold you there. We got to get a break in. Hey, listen, it's Friday night, and that means it's time to go out to eat, right? You've been waiting all week to take the kids out to eat. And where are you going to go? You're going to go to Riccardi's tonight. You're going to get the kids some pizza or maybe one of their hearty grinders. But some great stuff for you. If you go to the Fairhaven location, they have an awesome seafood menu along with all of their hearty Italian family recipe favorites that they offer up all the time. Prepared right there on the site. No frozen stuff shipped in from some headquarters somewhere in Sheboygan. This is all fresh ingredients, and it's wonderful. Two locations for Riccardi's, by the way, in New Bedford, as you know, on Hathaway Road, and the location here in Fairhaven. 20 years next month, if you can believe that. So you want to do this. You want to plan this. You want to take the family out, and you want to get them some food tonight. And there's always plenty of food to take home because huge portions at family-friendly prices. And that's so important these days, right, as people are watching every nickel and dime. Standard Time, South Coast Media Groups have named Riccardi's the best Italian restaurant, best family restaurant, best local caterer, and best pizza over and over again. And they do it for a reason. Because they're great. And you want to go, you've been before, you want to go back. If you've never been, why not? Now's your chance. Riccardi's, again, two great locations in Hathaway Road and right here in Fairhaven as well. Riccardi's Restaurant. You want to tell them that Barry sent you, won't you do that? All right, we're coming right back after this. Stay tuned. You're listening to WBSM on this Friday.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, More Care. Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
All righty, welcome back to the program on a Friday afternoon. We're going to be wrapping up in just a short bit of time here for the day and for the week. And I'm going to see some folks tonight, I know. Going to head downtown, and the concert is 6. But also heading downtown for the opening night for Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville at Escape to Margaritaville is at the Z tonight. Yeah, the New Bedford Festival Theater, the return of New Bedford Festival Theater at the Zyterian Theater. So it's going to be a great experience tonight. Looking forward to it very much. My first theatrical performance at the theater since it reopened. Went to see the Coast Guard band there. Memorial Day weekend, maybe somewhere around there anyway. And so that was my first trip back there since the reopening. But looking forward to seeing a stage production there tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. So. And you ought to try to see it. It looks like it's going to be a funny show. A lot of good Jimmy Buffett music. Might get all the Parrot Heads together. I'm sure all the Parrot Heads will be there tonight for opening night. A lot of fun things happening in the city during the during the summertime. I can't believe it's almost feast season already. I mean, what, 2 weeks from now? Is it the feast? You know, the feast is always one of those weekends that is kind of you know, it's a mark. You know, once the feast this year, summer is quickly coming to an end. kids are getting ready to head back to school in just a few weeks. Well, you know, not quite that much, but seems like when you hit July 4th, you know, everything just seems to fly for the rest of the summer. And then you start thinking about fall. You're going to some of the stores and already Halloween's out and everything else. So anyway, it is what it is. Enjoy it today because you don't even know if we're going to be here in the fall. You never know. You never know. So enjoy every day as it comes. All right, I'm going to hit the last break, and then we're going to come back and wrap things up on the other side. Stay tuned. You're listening to WBL. And we are back just in time to wrap it up for the weekend. My goodness, weekend is here. It wasn't too bad of a week. It did kind of move along at its own pace, but it wasn't unbearable. Some weeks it's like, oh, my God, it's never going to end. But this week just seemed to go by pretty well. And so thank you for being here. I appreciate it very much. We're going to do a lot of follow-up next week, I can guarantee you, on this courthouse scandal that is brewing in Massachusetts. We want to get to the bottom of it. And I know Tim Dunn is working on it with the Boston Herald, and may have some more to say about this interview with Representative Alan Sylvia as well. I'd like to talk a little bit more about that next week, because I think you folks need to understand, I know many of you do, but those who maybe don't believe it or don't understand it need to understand that what goes on up there. And, you know, it's a really makes you angry that your state rep goes to Boston to do some work and disagrees with the speaker and gets punished. And as a result, the constituents